The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. These words of the prophet Jeremiah point to God's plan to restore unity, peace, and freedom to the children of Israel, to restore the blessings they had lost by internal divisions, civil wars, and foreign conquest. The united monarchy, which governed the 12 tribes as a single nation, lasted only about 120 years. Kings Saul, David, and Solomon accomplished wonders in their time, but then Solomon's son Rehoboam became king, and through his greed and vanity squandered what his father and grandfather had built. Around the year 930 BC, the 10 northern tribes broke away and formed the Kingdom of Israel, leaving the two southern tribes as the Kingdom of Judah with its capital at Jerusalem. This division, plus the corruption of the people and the incompetence of their rulers, made both kingdoms easy prey for their enemies. And as Jeremiah had foreseen, this weakness and corruption allowed Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to conquer Judah, to occupy Jerusalem, to destroy the temple built by Solomon, and to carry the people into captivity. But the disaster of the Babylonian captivity was to last only about 60 years, because Babylon was in turn conquered by Persia. And the pagan king Cyrus allowed the people of Judah to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. And so the prophecy of Jeremiah was remembered. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe, and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. But even we who know that the Lord Jesus is the just shoot of David who brings peace to Jerusalem may well wonder, what is it in the human heart that leads us to constant conflict, war, violence, and hatred? Perhaps you've seen an ad on television for an emergency alert device with the tagline, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." That, my friends, is the human condition summed up in one phrase. We have fallen and we can't get up. At the very beginning of the human story, our entire race fell from God's grace in the rebellion of original sin, a rebellion against the Father's eternal plan for us, the plan for us to share his own divine life and to live in perfect harmony with him, with each other, and with the created world. But because of the rebellion of our first parents, we have all fallen, and we cannot get up. We cannot get up, that is, until our Heavenly Father lifts us up by his grace through faith and restores in us the divine image which we disfigure by our sins, a disfigurement that makes us strangers to him, to each other, and to our own true selves. The mystery of lawlessness entered the human heart at our fall from grace, and it is this mystery of lawlessness which leads to every form of disordered self-love. This is why Cain slew Abel. This is why we lie, cheat, and steal. This is why we are at war with each other and with our own hearts. And this is also why we are lonely. We might think that being alone makes us lonely, but being alone and being lonely are different things. It is quite possible to feel surrounded by love even when we're alone, and equally possible to experience loneliness in a group of friends or even in a marriage. Loneliness, you see, comes from alienation, not from solitude. And when we fall into our own heads through disordered self-love, then we become strangers to God, to others, and even to ourselves. Yes, we have fallen, and we can't get up. And that is precisely why we need a Savior, the just shoot of David, the eternal Word made flesh. And sometimes, disruption is needed to remind us of that truth, even if it is not as disastrous as the Babylonian captivity or the tribulation to come on the last day. In the 1990s, I was pastor of Divine Redeemer Church in Hanahan, a cozy little suburb of Charleston up near the airport. During my years there, the Lowcountry was threatened by several hurricanes and tropical storms, but during most of those tempests, we were spared serious damage. On one occasion, though, we lost power for several days, and while we waited for the electricity to be restored, we all discovered something most of us had lost: our neighbors. It was summer, and because we had no air conditioning or television, people came out into their yards. We began to knock on doors to check on the elders in our neighborhood, and because all of the food in our freezers was beginning to spoil, we started to cook on grills and invite our neighbors to join us. On the third day of this forced return to simplicity, I rounded up some hymnals from the church, and a large group of neighbors sang songs of gratitude and praise before sharing the evening meal. Even though the absence of electricity imposed hardships of several kinds, everyone was delighted with our newly discovered fellowship with others and the sense of belonging to a community, a sense that we too easily lose in our digital cocoons. Without realizing it, we had all fallen into our own heads. And that storm helped us crawl back out and look at everyone around us with compassion and gratitude. I dare say that our loneliness was diminished somewhat in those precious days of living in connection with others, and we had a brief glimpse of what communion with other persons can be and how it changes us for the better. But then the power was restored and the glimpse faded. We all went back into our climate-controlled comfort and returned to our own lives. For too many, I fear, loneliness quickly returned. After all, we are children of Adam. We have fallen, and we can't get up, not by ourselves. But God be praised, we don't have to. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ laid aside the glory of the Father's only Son and became man to live with us, to suffer and die for us, and to rise from the dead in order to break the power of sin and death over us and show us how to live in perfect fellowship with God, with others, and with our own true selves. The mission of the Messiah, you see, is to call all the tribes of Israel to unity, and then to add all the other tribes of the earth to Israel and the heavenly Jerusalem. But to join that assembly requires of us that we turn away from sin and live the law of love. Every year, Advent is an invitation to turn again to the Lord, who alone can lift us up from our fallen state and teach us to love each other. And we do turn to the Lord every time we reject what is contrary to the gospel and live according to his law of love. This we do by grace through faith in the Son of God, who commands us to love each other and equips us to love each other by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, speaking the truth, teaching the ignorant, visiting the sick and the imprisoned, welcoming the stranger, protecting the weak, forgiving those who injure us, respecting the dignity of all persons, leading sinners to repentance, consoling the sorrowful, counseling the doubtful, giving generously, attending Mass each Lord's Day, marrying only in the church and living in continence outside of marriage, baptizing our children and instructing them in the gospel, praying every day, and at all times bearing witness to the liberating truth of the Word of God. And when we don't live this way, and we very often don't live this way, then the Lord Jesus invites us to confess our sins in the sacrament of penance and receive his mercy again, the mercy that lifts us up and restores us to fellowship with God, with others, and with our own true selves. Advent is a time to turn to the Lord Jesus, who came first as man to suffer and die for us, who comes now in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness, and who will come in glory to reveal the kingdom of God to all flesh. And if we turn now to the Lord in faith, hope, and love, then we learn to love the things of heaven and find the remedy for the loneliness that comes from the alienation of sin. That is why St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so as to strengthen your hearts, to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones." My friends, let us live in such vigilance, in Advent and at all times, so that on the great and terrible day of the Lord, we will not cringe in servile fear, but have the strength to stand before the Son of Man with heads raised high and our hearts filled with wonder, awe, and praise. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.